Now, attending a technical college is one way to access higher education at a lower cost. But new numbers from the U.S. Department of Education show that students of Wisconsin's technical colleges are facing rising costs.
A couple of examples, as reported in Gannett newspapers in Wisconsin, students at Fox Valley Technical College saw their tuition triple over a four-year period, while Waukesha County Technical College grads had a debt increase of $6,000. At the same time, tuition and fees are generally on the rise.
Nick Hillman joins us now. He's an associate professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis here at UW-Madison. Nick, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for inviting me.
So you've been able to dig into these numbers a little bit. Can you give us a picture of the debt burden for a student attending a technical college here in Wisconsin?
I can give part of that picture.
Okay.
One of the challenges that we have in this area of financial aid policy is the domain that we're talking about is that we actually have really poor data. And so it's hard to know precisely what's going on in terms of trends and who's struggling with debt. But on average, the technical college student in the state of Wisconsin, and there's about 160,000 students across the state attending technical colleges. So it's big. It's about as big as the UW system in terms of degree-seeking students. But the average loan, at least with the most recent data, is about $4,700, and that's for 1 year of school. And the average tuition is about $4,300. So if we just looked at those two numbers, we might think that the loan is covering tuition. But that's not all that loans are being used to cover.
What else are they covering?
Well, tuition accounts, depending on the school, and there are 16 campuses across the state of tech colleges, depending on the school, you know, you've got your tuition bill, but you've also got these other non-tuition expenses that are incorporated in your total cost of attendance, and loans can pay for those things as well, and they should pay for those other non-tuition items as well. So, you know, the cost of enrolling in college is not just tuition, but it's also paying your bills and being able to have your living expenses covered while you take time off of work, for example. If you have dependents, it might be caring for dependents. And how are you going to do that if you're back in school? And so the federal government designed the loan program to account for these non-tuition expenses. And so, yes, tuition is rising, but these other non-tuition expenses are rising at the same time that family incomes are flattening. And so there's just a lot of financial need out there that that students are turning to loans to utilize to cover those needs.
Why is there an incomplete data set on this? You know, why are there holes in the data?
You know, this is the question that that researchers have, and we want an easy answer too. But the federal government and politicians in particular in Washington, D.C. are reluctant to have these national student unit record data systems, and they're very proprietary with respect to the data. And so the U.S. Department of Education holds all of the loan records for everybody who has a student loan. And so students as loan holders can go in and find their individual records, or colleges can make requests to pull down that data. But this is not widely available public data that just anybody can use. It's got a lot of confidential information for good reason. It's protected, but at the same time, we sure do want to know more so we can help inform policymaking.
And in Wisconsin, student debt is third highest in the country. What are some factors contributing to that?
Right. So that comes from a really recent report that aggregates both public colleges and private colleges together, and it only looks at students who graduated with a bachelor's degree. And so it's a very narrow set of the student population. It includes federal and non-federal loans. It sort of is it's the everything all sort of lumped together here. And you're right, Wisconsin is one of the highest. Part of that is because the state has been over time, divesting in public higher education and pushing the costs onto students in terms of tuition. Even though there's been a tuition freeze within the UW system, we still have these non-tuition expenses that keep rising, and fees also keep rising. And so part of it is state divestment, but that doesn't explain it all. Part of it is also, like I said earlier, just families have greater financial needs, and grant programs like the federal Pell Grant, which is money that doesn't have to be repaid like a loan, and even state and campus financial aid programs aren't buying as much tuition as they used to for students.
And what do these figures tell us about the number of tech students who are defaulting on federal loans?
Now, here's the real interesting question. So we, a lot of times we correlate the rise in student loan debt and the big shocking numbers of $30,000 in student loan debt or even $100,000 in student loan debt. And there's this mental shortcut that happens where we think that high debts are causing students to default, when actually it's just the opposite. It's the students who have low debts who maybe just enrolled in one semester of tech college, and they might not even know they had a loan, which, you know, if for financial aid folks, actually is not that surprising, because it's such a confusing process. Sometimes students don't know the differences between grants and loans, even though they've gone through the, you know, the formal counseling that the
advising session, sure.
But they're struggling with relatively small loans because they don't have that credential that helps them earn a higher earnings in the labor market. So you have debt and no degree.
And one administrator was critical of the default rating, saying anyone can enroll in tech colleges and students tend to be, quote, older, poorer, and less educated. How does that argument stand up?
I don't think it holds. It doesn't stand up very strongly because that assumes that student loan default is a pre-existing condition, that students are just more likely to default and the college has no responsibility over helping that student navigate this extremely complex system. And so I would reject that that argument and say that colleges have more responsibility to help students understand the cost of borrowing and the implications of borrowing. And student loan default is a significant outcome that colleges can help prevent, but it also affects people's credit ratings. It can affect whether or not they can get other loans in the future. These have long-term consequences that we should take very seriously.
So then what is a manageable level of debt for that college graduate? How much debt is too much?
That's the magic question. And people have been asking that since 1965 when the federal government initiated the first national student loan program. They're going to ask it in 3,065 or whenever in the future we still have student loans. The question, though, I think sometimes gets decoupled from the other side of the equation, which is earnings. We have, a doctor, for example, might carry significant loads of debt, but they also have high earnings. And so from the public policy perspective, that's probably not a big problem necessarily because they can repay that. And so that's what a lot of folks are trying to get is data that connects both loans and earnings to see the ratio between the two. When we start to do that, it actually reinforces that earlier point that it's the low debt borrowers who are struggling the most.
And technical training has long been billed, calling it the more affordable way, sometimes it's been called, to go compared to a four-year university. Some people have also used two-year schools as a bridge to the four-year. Will we see more students opting not to attend college at all because of sticker shock?
I think that's true. I think there is something, it's hard to measure, it's hard to quantify, but it is real, this idea of debt aversion. And student loans affect students even before they ever borrow because of that exact reason. And so we should be seriously concerned about that. And that's why I get worried about some of the talk that we hear about giant debt loads burdening people and preventing people to be independent in the economy or whatever, because just the opposite story is also true, that loans can help people invest in themselves. And without that loan, they would never have had a shot at trying to, change career paths or have higher earnings later down the road. And so I think it's a challenge for sure. But I think the biggest cost is not enrolling in the first place in many cases.
Thanks for being with us, Nick.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
That was Nick Hillman, Associate Professor in the Department of Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison. He talked to us about how students in Wisconsin technical colleges are facing higher debt.
Coming up, change is the new normal in American life and in global politics, according to our next guest. He'll tell us why we're in the era of mega change. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.